Welcome back to the currently number 15th ranked best music podcast of the day on iTunes.
Yeah, we still can't figure out what that means, but some random website on Google told us that was the case, so it must be true.
Which is pretty surprising, because, some people find us funny and some people find us completely moronic, you know?
I feel like it's a little bit of both.
There definitely is a little bit of both. I mean, it's hard to be this good looking all the time in the same way it's hard to be charming and funny all the time.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's a problem that I've dealt with by taking my face and putting it behind a podcast microphone.
That's the best way to fix it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I have a face made for podcasting, as my mother always told me as a wee lad in the 90s. She said, "You're going to grow up and be a good podcaster one of these days."
My mother just always said to get my dirty underwear off the floor.
Well, you probably should have been able to do that without being told, but that's just me.
No, not really. Not so much.
No?
Mm-mm. No. No. So I got a couple good topics for you and both of those who are listening today.
I very much doubt that.
All right. So let's, I guess we'll just jump on in. I know this seems
right. Let's do it. Yeah. We got a bunch to go through today. Let's do it.
Right. So, let me get to the actual customer question here. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So, this is from a message. I was actually helping a customer troubleshoot a pedal, and what I found out is that he had a tuner and he was running power off of that to another pedal and it was causing problems. And I get the misconception that a lot of tuner pedals have those dual power outputs, and one might think that it's literally running extra power to the next one.
Right.
But the truth is, on a good majority of them, I don't want to say all of them, because maybe there's some tuners out there that have some different circuitry that I haven't seen. But the ones that I am aware of, that's basically like a fancy daisy chain. So it's just a circuit that's kind of right there in series with it. And it's not really powering anything. So let's say that you're powering up. Let's back up a little bit. You have a power supply, right? And it's a 100 milliamp power output. So what that basically means is that you are not going to be able to power a pedal over. I mean, there is some tolerance, right? But technically, you're not going to be able to power a pedal that uses more than 100 milliamps. This is totally different than voltage. It's still going to be 9 volts and everything. It's just not giving enough, let's call it power. That's a bad way to put it. It's not giving enough oomph to the circuit to do what it needs to do. So if you are already using that 100 milliamps and you run it to something else, well, now you got problems and the pedals aren't going to work right. So in that situation, you don't want to do it that way. You want to run two different outputs. But if you have two pedals and they both use 5 milliamps, you're probably fine. Probably not a big deal. Same reason, some of us run daisy chains and, one spots or similar type of power supply like that. But that's something you definitely want to keep in mind of. And not that you should go through all your pedals and measure all the milliamps and do all that sort of thing. Wouldn't hurt, but you don't have to go to that nerdery to actually do that. You know, the best use of that is, are you having a lot of noise issues? And we can talk about noise issues later too. Are you having a lot of sag, or maybe a pedal is just not working properly? I usually start from the power, work backwards.
That's a good place to go. And something else kind of worth noting is even if the milliamps are everything's correct with your tuner and your pedal, sometimes there's just, different people are designing these things. They have different ideas and different theories about how certain things should work. And sometimes things that on paper shouldn't interfere with each other do. And so it's best to just, if you are experiencing some of those problems, just try to get everything in your chain its own power and just see if that solves your issue. because oftentimes it does.
Right.
I've seen a lot of issues stem from daisy chaining. That said, I've daisy chained a lot of straight up analog dirt boxes at the same time, and I've rarely had any issues with that. They just don't draw that much power.
And I do know that, you know, when a customer contacts us about pedal noise or something not working properly, like one of the things that we do first is we're like, all right, let's get rid of all the other pedals. Let's just plug guitar into the pedal that's having the problem. Get rid of the power supply. Go to the store and buy a brand new Duracell 9-volt battery. Put it in your pedal. Connect it to your amp. So it's only guitar, pedal, amp. Let's eliminate everything else. And now let's see if we still have the problem.
Right.
And if we don't have the problem, well, there's something else going on. So we can start narrowing it down from there. It could be power supply issues, could be a bad cable, could be impedance issues. Like there's a bunch of different things that it could be.
Yeah. And, you know, once you've isolated it and it's like, okay, it's not my new pedal, that's when you start slowly adding stuff back in until you do find the culprit. Or maybe I've had this happen before. It turns out that one of my pedals was just slightly unplugged. Like not all the way. Just enough that it was giving a little bit of like, what is going on? And it was just because one was slightly unplugged. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen when you start combining all these different little boxes. Yeah. I know we have a lot of things standardized these days, but you know, things happen in rock and roll, and you never know.
There's a number of times where I have our big show board, which has all the pedals on it, right? So it's 4 foot wide or whatever. It's stupidly big, and I'm like, why is this not working? What is going on? And it could be like just one of the little patch cables just barely not in enough, and so there's no signal passing, you know. But when you look at it, it looks like it's in until you look a lot closer. So there's things like that happen all the time whenever you have a pedal board. And like you said, it could just be the power jack that's not in all the way, or it could be a bad power cable going to it, or it could be a bad output on the power supply itself. But that's not as common generally.
Yeah, but the best place to do is exactly what you said. Take it all down to the suspected pedal, two known good cables, and a rock solid power supply. And go from there.
I also like to put my Nike high top tennis shoes on.
Well, yeah.
You know, usually since I don't have a lot of hair on my head these days, I do have a mullet wig that I like to put on. And I got a monitor in here, so I stick my foot on the monitor.
Yeah.
Plug into my Ibanez. Mm-hmm. Get on the gear shifter, get on the Wang bar, start doing some dive bombs. I find that's a good litmus test, not litmus test, but a good test for pedal problems. I really do.
So you do this before you plug the pedal in, or after, or as like a morning routine? I'm not really sure
this fits in. This is more of a troubleshooting thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So because, you know, Nike high tops make everything better.
Yeah, so I have some Jordan 1s I like to wear once in a while, and they're a nice light color, as any dad would appropriately, you know, wear. Mm-hmm. And yesterday my son, I was wearing a different pair of shoes, which are black, and my 3-year-old asked me, "Dad, how come you're not wearing your Crispy Boys?"
Your Crispy Boys.
Yeah, he's like, "Dad, you're not wearing your Crispy Boys." I'm like, "Well, you're right, I'm not." He's like, "I like it when you wear those."
He likes the fresh Monarchs, right?
Well, these are actually Jordan 1s, so we're, ooh, you know, we're retro, but still, you know, with the kids these days.
Man,
so,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, throwing it back.
Speaking of clothing and not of tone-related stuff, have you been to our little shirt website, our little merch website called,
I have.
It's called modyourownpedal.com.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to put some kits on there at one time and just haven't had the time to mess with it really. But anyways, it's a good place to put up some print-on-demand stuff. So we've been doing a bunch of print-on-demand things. Basically, if you don't know what that is, it means you go through the website, you place an order, and they print everything. A side company prints everything and ships it to you. That way you don't have to order, you know, 500 shirts in every size and 500 mugs and 500, you know.
Well, I just pulled grinders. It up while we were talking about it, and I see exactly what I'm ordering. The Wampler Tone Chaser Pantheon Yoga Leggings.
I knew it. I was waiting for you to see that.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm going to wear those.
We do have leggings that, you know, have Wampler down the side. Instead of a little Nike swoosh on the side, it's got a little Wampler logo.
It says
logo.
Tone Chaser down the side.
It says Tone Chaser down. That's right. That's right. I don't want to discriminate, man. You know?
I mean, those will look good on me.
I'm telling you, they make my legs look sexy. You know,
legit though, I'm gonna buy that hat. That hat's all kinds of my business.
I wondered if you might like the little snapback deal.
You know, I'm a hat guy.
I know.
Love hats.
I know.
I'm getting that hat.
Got backpacks that look like pedals. There's all kinds of crap on there, man.
You got backpacks that look like pedals?
Yeah.
On there? No way.
Yep. Well, not in shape, but in graphic size. So I think the one that we have on there is a blue backpack, and it's got the graphics of the Ego Compressor on it.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's spiffy. Oh, we got a mug. We got... Oh, no. Brian, I know you got teenagers, but this is too far.
Which one is it?
I was just telling my wife the other day that I can't take a grown man seriously if he's wearing joggers. and here we have joggers. This is a bridge too far for me.
Well, you know...
I quit this podcast.
I wanted to get cargo shorts... But I couldn't. I don't think that Printful, which is the company that does it, I don't think they offer them.
Oh, yet. Printful not hooking you up with the cargo shorts.
I don't think so just yet. So maybe soon, though. Pillowcase. Yeah, I think we can do pillowcases. So who doesn't want a pillowcase that looks like a guitar pedal? You know?
I mean, I know I do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come have to go in there and just load up on things.
So my thought is this, as people who listen to this podcast, no, we really don't do any advertising. We don't have advertisers that, I mean, we've had a few people offer it, but I don't know. I don't really do that. So I thought, well, if you'd like to support us and what we do, since we do a free podcast for you every week, and it's not really an advertisement for Wampler stuff, it's just purely for you. If you'd like to support us, you could always just go through there and, you know, buy a shirt or something, you know?
Sure.
So anyways, back to a little bit of power discussion, because this gets good. All right. So this is from a YouTube comment. It was a video that I did called Easy Solution to Fix Noisy Guitar Pedals. And the person said, this is BS. I had severe hiss from a couple of Boss pedals using their Boss 9-volt adapter. I watched this. Went out and bought a Voodoo Lab Power 2 Plus for nearly $300. The result? The hiss is just as bad as before. Don't believe YouTube videos like this. There's more to it.
Oh, there's more to it. He's absolutely right.
There is more to it. Yeah. Let's call him Joe. All right?
Okay.
So, Joe, here's the thing. Your power supply that you had before could have been just fine.
Might really?
In that video, I never implied that that's always 100% of the time the problem. I just said it's a problem that you can check out. So, I mean, it could be other things. It could be bad caps in a pedal, for example. It could be crappy cables. It could be that you're sitting underneath a fluorescent light or that your guitar amp is plugged into the same circuit that your washing machine is on or your dryer. Like there's a million things it could be. So
yeah.
Try that stuff first. Again, this goes back to try it with a battery first. See if it's still there and then move on to the next step. I wouldn't immediately be like, you know what I need? $10,000 power supply. You know?
You know, one thing I should add in there too is that I've had differences in cheap power supplies too. So like those little wall warts of different varieties,
mm-hmm.
You know, some I've had lots of noise problems with, some I have not. Some I've had noise problems when they were plugged into one particular pedal, but not when they were plugged into other pedals.
Yeah.
It's really a variable thing. I will say the one I've had the best luck with for wall wart style power supplies is indeed the trusty old one spot.
Yeah.
Those seem to be the quietest of those type of devices in my experience.
They're really good. And we do have a few power supplies that we sell from the website. I think we still have some left. But for the most part, they look a lot like the one spots. I mean, they're just a good power supply. But I mean, you can buy a cheap power supply from Amazon or whatever for a couple bucks. And like you said, sometimes that's going to be just fine. Other times, and I've experienced this firsthand, where they could be dead on arrival. There could just be a lot of hum in that particular one for quality control reasons. Mm-hmm. Basically, if it's something is really cheap, there's a reason why it's really cheap. You know, there's something that is some corner that's being cut somewhere. It's pretty hard to sell a Lamborghini for $5,000.
Yeah. You can expect that it might look great. It might even be fast, but it also could blow up.
it could catch on fire whilst going fast. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you go back to the manufacturer to say, hey, your car caught me on fire. And they say, huh? Who did? What car? What are you talking about? We right. don't sell cars. We sell toilet paper.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if you get a response at all. Well, not every time, but a lot of times when I've bought inexpensive products, even in the gear world, and had problems, I'm thinking of one in particular that sells like crazy on Amazon, by obviously not going to name names. It's a very inexpensive one. It was dead on arrival. I sent I reached out to the company and I'm like, hey, this is dead on arrival. Nothing. Zero. Zero, zero, zero.
That's not too surprising. which one did you reach out to? Because they're all they all look the same.
It was so it could the, be the anybody. The manufacturer of that company.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I reached out to them because it's the guitar and pedal industry is pretty small. I know it seems huge, but when you work in it for a while, you get to you just start getting kind of know people that work with different companies. A lot of times one guy will go from one company to another one, and so he may have worked for, I'm just throwing this, out. So maybe he worked for TC Electronics and then he moved over to Boss or something. Right. Mm-hmm. And, so it's just like not a lot of people, but it's pretty common for a person that worked with one gear company or one musical instrument company to, maybe they switch jobs and they just go to a different one. So it's a pretty small industry overall.
I've noticed that with all of the industries I've worked in. Once the deeper you get into it, the smaller almost everything is at the end of the day. Like, I used to work in the oil industry, which is obviously a pretty big, pretty massive thing. But, at our small local level, there were lots of guys that have been in the business for 40 years. Some stayed at the same location. Some went to multiple different companies. But for the most part, it was the same cast of characters for years and years at a time. And I'm finding that the gear world is sort of that way, only smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I've never worked for the oil industry. Not much demand. Not many oil companies here in Indiana.
Well, other than the gas stations. Consumers.
Lots of consumers, but mm-hmm. we don't really make a whole lot of oil here in Indiana.
Oil industry's it's like as far removed from the guitar pedal industry as you could possibly get, with that one exception of similarities that I just explained.
Right.
So
yeah. So
anyways,
okay. So the last part of this power supply noise issue episode apparently is from. Let's see. It's where did it go? Where did it go? Okay, hold on.
I gotta find it.
No, it's here somewhere.
We weren't meant to talk about this one.
Oh no, we got to. So, all right, it's gone. But anyways, the gist was this: a customer had posted. I guess it would be a customer. He posted on one of the YouTube videos that the Tumnus was crap because it. Every time you put a battery in it, it would eat the battery rather quickly. Tumnus Deluxe, obviously. The small Tumnus doesn't take a battery. Ain't no room in that one. But the Tumnus Deluxe does have a battery you know, space for it. But as we've talked about before, the way, so that's based around, you know, the mythical clone type circuit, right? That everyone seems now to be doing clones of. So that circuitry, Blake, and I'm sure you know this, is boosting the voltage quite a bit. It's actually not only boosting it. Well, how do I explain this without going down Nerdville? It is boosting the voltage, but there's a plus and a minus rather than a plus and a ground. And there's a ground as well. But what that does is it gives you a wider range of voltages. So all in all, I think it's 27 volt difference. So imagine taking a 9-volt battery and trying to get 27 volts out of it. It's going to demand a lot of that battery power, right?
It's just going to suck a lot of the current out.
Yeah, it's going to really tax it, and it's going to suck it dry, almost like a chocolate shake on a hot summer day, you know? And as a result, batteries don't last too long. What's funny is, as I was, you know, I like to comment on things like that. Like, well, tell me about their problem so maybe I can help you help someone else fix it, or, you know, maybe it's a problem with the pedal. And he said, well, your manual even says to only use 9 volts. And so I had let him know, I said, yes, the pedal says only use a 9-volt power supply. That mm-hmm. does not indicate in any way only use a 9-volt battery.
Yes.
Dims two different things.
I mean, I kind of understand when you're getting into this as a newish person, and it can get messy real quick. And stuff that, like, people like you and I have been around for a little while and helped people through these exact sort of problems, we tend to be like, ugh, you know, this again. But, you know, the truth is, like, there's new people into the gear world every day, and we were new people into the gear world at one point. And I try to remember that when I get frustrated with the same questions or what are quote-unquote noob questions. I'm like, oh, geez, not this again. But then I'm like, oh, it's a good thing this noob is here, because without him, we're not going to have a job much longer. So we need all the noobs we can get.
No, that's very true. And it is, you know, like the true bypass versus buffer thing. I don't know how many times we've talked about it on the podcast. I'm sure it's in the double digits, if not triple digits. But there's still, I mean, we had a question about it on the Tone Group on Facebook this week, where the whole true bypass versus buffer thing was kind of confusing to him. And he was thinking that, like, a buffer was a boost, you know. He's like, I don't hear it.
Okay.
I don't hear a boost in the signal. And so, you know, it's had to kind of go back to ground zero and kind of explain, okay, so that's not what a buffer does. You know, cables take off an amount of, if your impedance is high, like what's going to come out of a guitar generally, mm-hmm. For every foot of cable, you're going to lose some high end and potentially a little bit of signal, a little bit of, let's call it voltage, okay, which is kind of really what it is, but that's confusing.
A little bit
to
of
people.
Output, maybe that's
yeah, it. That output volume. That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Now that buffer changes the signal in such a way, changes it to low impedance, but that's not important really. But it changes it in such a way as to now that cable doesn't negatively affect it near as much.
Right.
Which is why whenever you have a pedal board with a bunch of pedals and no buffer, whenever you plug direct in, you're like, oh, wow, man, this sounds totally different when I plug direct in. Yes, it does. And if you mm-hmm. put a buffer right up front near the front of your pedal board, you'll be 99.99999% the same as you would if you were just plugged direct in with that cord.
Well, there you go.
So
the more you know.
Right, yeah, it's not really a boost. And boost can change the impedance and can, quote unquote, buffer. By the way, buffer is our term as guitar players and music companies. It's, you know,
it's not an electronics term.
I mean, not really. Like, you don't go to college and they're like, all right, class, today we're going to make buffers, you know? No, but they talk about impedance issues and how impedance works and how it affects other things and that sort of stuff.
And what to do about mismatches, i.e., put a buffer in it.
Right. Put a device that changes the impedance in such a way that it's best for the following pedals. But, one thing that always bothered me is when you have a wah pedal and let's say a fuzz face. Mm-hmm. And, one of the classic sounds is running a wah pedal into a fuzz face. But they don't always work that well together, especially depending on the wah. A lot of people have fixed that by sticking a buffer in between the two. But now you've changed kind of the sound of the fuzz itself. It's brighter. It doesn't interact the same way with the volume pot. It's a way to fix it, not my favorite way to fix it. So there are times where you're like, I really need a buffer here before this wah pedal, before it hits my fuzz. But whenever I leave this always on buffer in front of my fuzz, then it makes my fuzz sound like, complete crap in a bucket. And so what do I do? Well, you can turn the buffer off, I guess, or you could put the buffer somewhere else, I suppose. I mean, there's different things you could do. But, I think the more a person kind of gets, especially if they're starting out new into the world of effects, there's a lot of questions like that that just maybe something that doesn't seem logical at first,
Right.
I mean, chances are when you go to your local music store, they're not always going to say, oh, well, how many pedals do you have on your board? Or you got to have a buffer, dude. Got to have one. Sometimes they will, depending on the store. Other times, there's a chance that even the staff in the store don't know what a buffer is.
Don't get me started.
That happens as well. Or that they may say, you do need a buffer, but you're like, but I have a Boss pedal. And they're like, no, this buffer's way better. Okay, that's complete crap. No, you don't need another buffer. Your Boss buffer is just fine. I promise.
Or they say, here, you got to have a buffer, and they hand you a tap tempo. That happens too.
Did that happen to you?
Not exactly. I can't remember the details of the situation, but I needed a tap tempo, and they handed me a tuner, which was interesting.
Well, I mean,
and I said, well, that's not going to do what I need it to do. I need a tap tempo switch because I needed to test a pedal that had external tap tempo that night and realized that I had no external tap tempo and it was actually kind of late. So it was like Guitar Center was closing. I ran in there. I knew they'd have one of those Boss ones in there somewhere. And we looked and looked and he found a tuner.
And he's like, no, just hit it more than once, dude. Like, it's still not going to be a tap tempo.
I was kind of like, whoa, okay. All right. Like, not everybody needs to be an expert in this stuff, but this is indeed a TU2, not a tap tempo switch. So,
but on the plus side, that is a buffered tuner. So there you go.
Maybe that's true. To bring it back around.
Maybe he was actually just trying to save you from yourself. Maybe he was like, you don't need a tap tempo switch. What you really need is a buffer on your board.
Maybe he heard me playing and thought, whoo, this guy could actually use this instead.
There could be that too.
That's probably what really happened.
The least of your worries, Mr. Weiland, is that you need a tap tempo. What you need is a little bit of Mel Bay and a tuner.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I just misconstrued the whole thing. That's what that book was on the counter. It was a Mel. Oh, boy. Now who's the idiot? Oh boy.
You're like, I need a tap tempo switch. No, you don't. Trust me.
Trust me. You don't even need to look at that kind of stuff yet. You need a tuner and some lessons.
Yeah, you'll have that, I suppose. So
good times. Well, this is actually, I feel like we switched gears back to being somewhat informative. Although I know we've talked about this stuff before, but there's new listeners and new people find the podcast every day, so right. Sorry to everybody if we've talked about all that before. It's kind of impossible at this point for us to not rehash certain things occasionally.
261 episodes, I think. I think this is 261, if I remember right.
Wow.
Yeah, 260. I honestly didn't think I'd make it to 100 episodes. That seemed like, geez, I wonder how many episodes I'll do. You wonder if there's ever a time that you're just going to be like, you know what? I've talked about everything. I'm done. I'm out.
I could see that potentially maybe on this show, just because, like, I mean, there's new stuff coming out all the time, so who really knows?
But, true.
But, like, for me, on mine, I don't, I mean, obviously, everything comes to an end someday, but I don't have a clue when that is going to be, because there's always new people to talk to. I'm never going to run out of new people to talk to. There's more being made every single day.
I would have to point to the great philosopher and G-string bender Brad Paisley, who put it best when he said, there's a last time for everything.
That's true.
Last song.
It is very true.
Last dance. Last something or other, I forget. Last romance. Sometimes you just don't know when that's going to be.
It's true, Brad.
Yeah.
Spoken like a man who knows.
That's from the philosophy of Brad, Acts 1. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Philosophy of Brad. That sounds like some dad in the Midwest wrote a book. Never touch the thermostat. Always make sure your shoes are white.
I actually have thought about writing a book for dad, since I have, like, you know, eight times the normal amount of kids that most people do. But I don't know, because, you know, as a parent, like, you know, we're getting off topic. So fast forward like 5 minutes if you don't hear parenting stuff. You know, as a dad, like, you really don't know. Like, you don't know what you make a decision. Like, I don't know. This could go really bad. This could be the right decision. I don't know. I've never been here before. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a crapshoot sometimes whenever you're parenting with making decisions and helping your kids make decisions. And, you know, I've had my fair share of backfires. I've thought about writing a book, even if it's just for like 10 people, you know, even if it's just for my kids, whenever they start raising kids, and have it be something kind of like, all right, here's the things that I did right that worked out well with you, and here's the things that went horribly bad, and here's why, you know. But I have thought about doing something. Maybe if not a book form, then maybe like a YouTube channel. I've thought about doing a secondary podcast, but then I'm like, yeah, but then I've got to always pay for hosting, and I really want something that'll live on for generations. That, you know, like my great 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 grandkids are like, all right, so, you know, if your son happens to spill liquid on the Xbox, don't buy him a PS4. You know,
right,
stuff like that. Yeah, don't feel sorry for your kids in that situation. Make him go through some consequences, or her. Anyways, that ends the parenting talk of this particular episode. Unless you have something to add.
Me? Add something? Yeah, I don't have any business giving anybody any kind of advice on parenting or whatever. I am very, very new to this whole parenting thing. I'm trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, I would not approach it like as I am kind of the authority on this stuff. It's more like I've screwed up a lot, so please don't make these mistakes.
Yeah, that would be. I think that's the book of my life. I Screwed Up a Lot by Blake Wylan. Here it is.
Everything I Screwed Up, chapter 1 of 300. All right, so let's wrap up the show with this final one.
Okay.
This is again another YouTube comment. I get really great comments from YouTube stuff. Sometimes really horrible comments.
I was going to say, what? Didn't we just do an episode on YouTube trolls not that long ago?
Sometimes they're horrible. But sometimes there's some good stuff. There's some good nuggets in there. So this is from, I'm going to call him or her Soyesh, because I can't pronounce it. And I can't tell if it's a boy or a girl, because it's an owl is their little emblem there. Okay. So they say, I still have some confusion. Oh, so let me back up. This is on the video, 6 ways to use an EQ pedal for better tone, and also some Fender Hot Rod amp tips. And he said, I still have some confusion. Why not tweak the EQ on the amp or the drive pedals? Why would you need to buy a separate EQ pedal?
Well, I can think of one really good reason why you might buy a separate EQ pedal, and that would be because your amp does not have very many tone controls on it. It might just have one. It might be a one knobber. It might just have a volume or a treble and bass. Maybe whatever it has, it's just not quite enough tone sculpting ability for yourself. So there's one good reason. Another good reason is you can, with an EQ pedal, you can, and I say this knowing that EQ pedals are like, no offense, Brian, but they're like the most boring pedals to buy outside of like a tuner.
All right, so maybe. Thanks, Blake, for being on the podcast.
But they're not as exciting as a fuzz. Let's just be honest. They're just
It's a good utility pedal. You know, it's kind of like fantastic. It's like a great pedal. Butter knife. No one ever goes to the store and like, you know what I need? I need to find a great butter knife. They're just like, I just need a knife. I just need a freaking butter knife. I got to spread some butter and some peanut butter. You know,
like. But sometimes you do get a nice butter knife though, and then you're like, ooh. This is nice. Like this changes my butter spreading experience. And there's EQ pedals like that too.
Okay. Well, I'm not at that level of my chefery. So.
Yeah. So you'll find there's this wide style butter knife that lets you just get a nice thin spread. Oh, it's great. We'll go over that later.
Yeah. I really just go find the cheapest one I can. The cheapest set. That's what I do.
Let me talk to you about spreading butter. Oh boy. It's a whole nother podcast.
Anyways, EQ pedals.
Another good reason for EQ pedals would be if you don't want to or can't get to your amplifier during your live gig. Like, we all know you get the perfect tone dialed in your bedroom. Everything's sounding great. Everything's wonderful. You take it to the room wherever you're going to be playing or recording or whatever. It's just a different physical space than you're used to. And everything sounds different. Well, that is real. You're not making that up in your head. Everything does indeed sound different because rooms and people and bodies and objects impact what your ears hear. But you can reach down to that EQ pedal if you can't get to your amplifier, and you can tweak that around until you get a lot closer to what you were hearing at home. That's another good reason to have one.
Yeah, those are all very valid reasons. So I would say here's the reasons that I found on my personal journey as a guitar player. Okay. And no, I'm not trying to sell you on, you know, the Equator, which is a really great EQ pedal with, anyways.
It's just such a great butter knife.
Such a great butter knife. I'm telling you, like, based on all the other EQ pedals named Equator, this is the best one.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah. So anyways, EQ pedals, something I love to do with EQ pedals, and I know it's not a sexy sell for you, but it works so good for me. Let's take an amp. Let me look around here. Okay. First thing I see, actually I showed this in a video, Fender Hot Rod Deluxe.
Okay.
Great amp, all tube, inexpensive. You literally can throw it down a flight of stairs and it's probably still going to work just fine. You can find them everywhere. So like any music store you go in will probably have a Fender Deluxe or Hot Rod Deluxe. Did I say Deluxe Reverb? I meant Hot Rod Deluxe. So what I do is that has an effects loop on it. And so others know, generally the effects loop is after all the preamp shaping crap, and then it goes to the effects loop, and then it goes to like the power stage, right? But boost the signal up to a speaker. Simplified, of course. But I like to, if I'm not a big fan of the distortion circuit itself, if I'm not a big fan of the clean circuit, big fan meaning like it could be better. I'll use an EQ pedal in there, and I'll just leave it on the entire time. I'll set it up. Maybe I need some more mids. Maybe I need a little bit less highs. And keep in mind, on EQ pedals, you can get, you know, what's the MXR? Is it a 12 band? Is that their largest?
I think it's a 12 band. Yeah.
Okay. So you can go all the way from, you know, 5 bands or whatever, all the way. Actually, there's some 3 band EQs. I think Earthquaker makes a 3 band, don't they? Anyways, so you have you go for everything from a couple bands to 12 and even more. If you start going to rack, you can get like 30 band EQs or whatever. So you can really get really precise on the frequencies. Now, I don't think you need a 30 band EQ, but I think it's really handy if you're like, man, this just everything I put in this thing just has this weird frequency chirp to it. Well, with an EQ pedal where you have multiple frequencies, you could find that chirp. You find it by sliding each one up and down. And whenever you're like, oh, that's way more of that chirp. Ah, you're like, okay, so I need to pull that frequency down. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yep. Or maybe, you know, you're playing in an amp and it just doesn't have enough bottom end or enough, already said mids. Mids is my favorite, personally. I love all the mids. Some people love all the gain. I love all the mids.
Scoop the mids. Scoop them out of there.
Never scoop the mids. Just like sweeping the leg doesn't work, scooping the mids doesn't either.
Sweeping the leg obviously does work.
Only if you're Ralph Macchio.
So scoop the mids.
Sweep the mids and scoop the leg.
That's right, baby.
But anyway, so that's – I love it using it for that. I love – let's say you have a tube screamer, and it works for some stuff. You don't – may not have other pedals. Man, you could throw an EQ pedal after that tube screamer or really even before it, but it works better afterwards in this application. To take where the 700, 800 area is, pull some of that out. Pull the little sliders right around that area, pull them down a bit, bump up the bass a bit. You now have an entirely different sounding overdrive. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, that's what a lot of this stuff is playing with EQs.
A lot of it is. Yeah. And not, so that doesn't mean that every overdrive pedal out there is a tube screamer with an EQ pedal in it. Clark still.
That's all they are. That's all they are.
But I mean, that's another cool thing to have, another cool thing to do if you have an EQ pedal and if you don't have a lot of drives or you just want to run a minimalistic rig for a certain gig. Mm-hmm. Another thing you can do is use it as a boost, of course, with all the frequencies set flat, your full frequency boost. You can just raise that level. I like to actually bump the mids and use it as a solo boost. I'll bump the mids just a little bit, volume just a tad. And when I step out on, you know, stick my high top tennis shoe on top of the speaker, my mullet wig is flowing through because I got to run a fan by the monitor. That way it blows your mullet wig. So my wig is like blowing, you know.
Well, of course.
Before I put my foot on the monitor, I hit that EQ pedal, then stick the Nike high top shoe on top of the monitor while I do all kinds of.
This sounds really, really familiar, like really familiar to something else. Maybe like is no. This is also how you check for noise, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was having a little bit of deja vu there. I wasn't sure if it was just me or okay.
Basically, this is just the way for me to play guitar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you see him in the videos, he's really restraining himself.
I really am. Yeah. Because not everyone likes the mullet wig. You know?
Yes, they do.
I've had some haters. That think that I'm making fun of people. And I have to explain, I'm actually making fun of myself circa 1992. See? Because I was that guy with the mullet. I had hair to have a mullet back then.
Wait. What are they talking about? Why are they criticizing this? Why are they saying they're making fun of something? Do they feel like they're being made fun of?
Apparently,
I didn't take that video to be making fun of anything.
Apparently, some people who use... who are using the information superhighway, apparently mm-hmm. some of them like to look for ways to be offended. So, yeah, they really do. Yeah, I found this to be true. And whenever they see such a video where I might be wearing a wig that makes me look different, or I might be using my Martinsville voice right there, mm-hmm. some think that I'm actually making fun of others less privileged, in quotes, than me, which is entirely not true. Because I grew up around that, I was that. And deep down, that probably is me. I do have a tractor, you know?
He has a tractor? Uh-huh. You wouldn't believe some of the conversations we've had off of – you can hear what we talk about on the mic. You should hear what we talk about off. Actually, no, you shouldn't. That's why it's off the mic.
We will never record those.
No, those are not for public consumption.
Like, you know, I don't know if you caught last week's episode when Travis was here, but Travis noted that my neighbor has a boat, just a fishing boat sitting in his yard.
He does.
And he also noticed, he's like, you have a wrecked car in your driveway. And I said, yeah, that's kind of what we do around here. You had a wrecked car.
You have a wrecked car in your driveway.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I probably
well,
should.
This get, is something I didn't know.
I need to sell it for parts because it's like an old Saturn and you can't really get parts for it anymore. And it's just sitting there basically not even rusting because it's plastic. But yeah, it's just an eyesore. But since we live where I live, that's a normal accepted practice around here.
It's not an eyesore. It's a lawn ornament.
It's right. It's a decoration. You know, it just means that we're lifelong residents. So
it means you can never be kicked out of this town.
That's right. Right. It's kind of like a passport for this town. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect. Perfect.
So,
Do you have anything to add? I want to say so much that has nothing to do with anything. So I should just be quiet.
No, you can say whatever you want.
Hold on.
Like you forget we're the right today as we record this May 31st, 2019. When you go to iTunes and you look in the music category, out of all the thousands of podcasts related to music stuff, we're ranked number 15. Let
That's
that sink
weird.
In.
I don't know how that. I honestly, as a lot of people say, I literally can't even.
You pointed out to me, and I'm like. Why?
I don't know. And I don't know how all these are calculated. I just know what the numbers are telling me today.
Right.
For what it's worth, they seem to jump around a lot.
Yeah, so tomorrow it'd be like 4,040. But today, I get to pull up pants a little higher and say, yep, sir, number 15. Yep.
Number 15. I never thought I'd be number 15 at anything in my life. I never thought I'd be ranked that high anywhere.
I was always like number 15th with getting picked for the dodgeball team whenever there was like 15 players.
You got picked for the dodgeball team?
Well, if there was 15, I was, you know, the teacher's like, you got to pick him. And like, but he's so small and scrawny. And they're like, yeah, but you know, you're not going to make him sit out just because he's, you know, 30 pounds soaking wet.
Oh, well, my teachers weren't even that nice. They would just say, well, yeah, I get it. And they'd leave me there.
Right.
Anyway, counting the childhood tears, that's the name of this podcast. It's number 15 in the iTunes store. What do you think, Brian? Yeah. Are we there?
I think we're there.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I'm like, if I break into this next idea I have, we're not going to stop for an hour and a half. So we better save that.
You want to save it?
Let's save it.
Okay, we'll save it. We're 40 some minutes in anyways, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing my redneckery stories.
Okay.
So, all right. So, to all of those listening, thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. If you would like to help us, you can do that in one of two ways. One, you could leave a good iTunes review. Hey, and big no thank you to the guy that said I was boring to listen to.
That's not the kind we're looking for.
No, not
People
those
can
kind.
Figure that out on their own.
Yeah, that's common sense. But, you know, seriously, iTunes review means a lot to us. And also, check out modyourownpedal.com. Maybe buy some leggings or something, you know? Buy a Wampler cup or a snapback hat or even just a t-shirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot to us. It means that you love us. And we love you.
We love you so much.
So, all right then. So, thank you for listening. We'll talk to everyone next week.
Kisses.